Always professional. Are we at 48 or 49?
We're at number 48.
Oh, this is number 48 of the FIFA Ramble. Thank you ever so much for joining us. We're very excited. We're very aroused right now because it's the start of the Premier season. And we've just seen the first games and I'm too excited right now. So,
yeah, look, it's what we've waited all summer for.
Well, it is, yeah. It
apart from the World Cup bit.
World Cup feels like it's years ago.
World Cup felt like, when the Premier League started, it felt like the World Cup had only ended 5 minutes ago, and now it feels like 6 years ago. It feels like completely different.
Has it caught you unaware?
It has. It's seeing players who played in the World Cup back so soon playing football, and it's just like, hey, that was only a little bit ago, but apparently, no, it wasn't.
Who have you been impressed by?
First thing I think we should talk about is Chelsea, really.
Yeah, why not?
Sarri's obviously implemented a different style.
Yeah,
on that side.
And as we stated, the capture of Jorginho is a revelation.
It was that game. Did you watch it?
I did watch it, yeah.
It was we've always said, haven't we, that what in a Paul Pogba context, we've always said to get the best out of Paul Pogba, you need the Pirlo and you need the Vidal. And Kante's always been seen as that deep holding Lothar Matthäus.
He can do that.
And he's always done that. He's perfect at it.
Now he can run forward.
But, yeah, again, with the signing of Jorginho, what it felt like was if one was playing in that Matthäus role and one was playing at centre mid while the game was on, if they found themselves in that, one would give the ball to the other and he'd run on. So sometimes Kante was hanging around the opposition box. It's like, why are you there?
It also shows the class of Kante, like when he needs to do a job and how he sticks to the script of exactly what he needs to do.
Oh, he's incredible.
So, I was really excited when Jorginho came in, stated, mm-hmm. What players do you hear which just state that, well, I play a different type of football. I'm keen to show everyone what I can do.
I can't wait to show people.
That's so cool. And his that penalty was like
superb
to step up on his debut.
And he just sat him down.
Yeah.
Sat him down.
I know. Exactly. Just tried.
Who was it in goals? Hamer, wasn't it?
Hamer. Yeah. Ben Hamer. It was Ben
Hamer. Put him. Yeah, just dropped him. Just like, sit down, son. I'm taking it. But it'll be interesting to see.
Because
I cannot. I'm a big fan of Jorginho. And I think he's going to do very well in the Prem. But he's not as good as Kante in front of that defence. So it'll be interesting to see.
But then Kante's like he can drop. He knows. He's a very intuitive player.
I'm imagining they'll swap as the season
goes on. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Perhaps they will swap. Or they'll begin by swapping. And then perhaps as might find that Sarri feels that one is more apt for the job than the other. But it'll be interesting to see how Jorginho and Kante set up. I mean,
I think it's amazing.
It worked so well, obviously, in the first game.
Not only that, they look so motivated. Like, but Pedro, that performance he turned out was decent as well. And they've got a good thing going on. It feels like there's solid vibes. What do you think of the new goalkeeper, by the way?
I put out a tweet about it. Yeah. And the first response back was someone saying, typical Chelsea, buy in a keeper for double the price who's half as good. So I messaged him back. I said, why don't you like him? He went, well, I've just heard he's not going to be as good as Courtois. And I was like,
do you see much at Bilbao?
I was like, so I'm assuming you've watched this player that you've just said is half as good as Courtois. And he was like, no, don't need to. And then he started mentioning how good he was on FIFA. And I was like, just
that's a great
go
game
away.
For
him. Go away.
I am
hate
reminded
the attitude of players don't exist.
Yeah,
until
but
they join the
it was
Prem.
The same with De Gea, and I'm going to bring this in for an example now. Like, he looks like exactly how De Gea came into the league.
Yeah,
He looks exactly like it. It's that same model, and he's a Spanish international as well.
Kepa Arrizabalaga is brilliant.
Thank you, safe,
superb.
And keeping a clean sheet on his first game as well.
No. It's interesting times at Chelsea. The sad thing for me, from a neutral perspective, and I'm a massive fan of him, is that they've let Bakayoko
Bakayoko go.
They've left. He's gone to Milan, and interestingly for Milan and Serie A clubs in general, is that they've brought someone in on loan, and they don't have to buy him next season, which is how this works. AC Milan brought in Higuain and on a loan that they have to pay money
for. Get back into
season.
The Italian way of doing business again.
Yeah, they've brought him in and he's just on loan, and if they want him they have to pay 35. If they don't want him, he'll just go back to Chelsea.
Yeah.
But for me, the annoying thing is I think a three in midfield of Bakayoko, Kante and Jorginho
could
potentially be the best three in the Premier League, because they'll never get tired. No. They'll run and run. They can all tackle. They can all pass. Or it could be the most boring one, because none of them want to actually, you know, get out. It's very defensive, but it could be stunning.
Just shows you that the depth Chelsea have got now as well. So just willing to let that type of player go, because I rate him. I think he's
apparently it was over. They chose to keep Loftus-Cheek, and you know, drink water and whatever. And
drink water's gone.
Look, Bakayoko isn't English, and they have to have a quota. That's
what they've got left is they've got a team that's very fluid and really quite versatile as well.
Mm. Yeah,
we're just talking about Pedro. You know,
and the other aspect is the motivation. So Seri, I like the cut of his gym.
Yeah,
I think you think he's very interesting to come in. Apparently, he smokes like 80 cigarettes a day.
Yeah,
he smokes a lot.
80 during the game.
Well, did you see RB Leipzig last season built him a smoking shelter just for the game where Napoli visited? That's, I mean, that's incredible. And he had one at Wembley. Have you seen that? He had a cheeky one on the bench at Wembley during the Community Shield. There is video on Twitter.
Do a little. Like,
yeah, he leans in and you see him go in his pocket or something. And then, yeah, he had a cheeky one on the bench at Wembley, which is superb. Mm. But, right, and you know, he's done well. He has done well.
Chelsea off to a good start. So,
Someone else who's off to a pretty damn good start is last season's champions, Man City. They did all right, didn't they?
Yes, they did. They did. They really did.
Did they come up against a strong Arsenal side?
It's so crippling and debilitating.
Our City just is. I mean, they looked. Look, they're just as brilliant as last year. They've just added Riyad Mahrez.
Yeah. Who fits in seamlessly as well.
Yeah, he fits in.
He's perfect.
You'll never... He fits in better at Arsenal. He should have been in the wrong shirt.
But on the weekend, I think it was... I mean, I think a lot of people were expecting that Mahrez would have to fight his way into the team or might not even get a look
Sane
at the team,
on the bench was a surprise.
He was, and I think him starting was actually a genius move because Arsenal were really exposed on that left-hand side.
Arsenal exposed.
They were exposed, but that was particularly very exposed. That right-hand side for Man City, left-hand side for Arsenal was really attacked, and they just got a knack of making what are good teams look bang average.
There was a moment when I feel like it could have gone either way. The Lacazette chance when it was approaching 1-1, like that would have squared it to 1-1. But it just hinged the other way. And I don't see the point of going hard on Arsenal and their performance. Obviously,
I think that they... It was kind of an Arsenal performance against top sides that I've seen before where they were a little bit... Yeah. It was a bit... It was great on the counter. There were times where it was sort of going back and forth. But they were always just behind the eight ball from very early on in the game, playing catch-up a little bit. And yes, they had chances. And at times they were breaking quite well as well. But then... The second then they lost the ball.
They need to break the habit of old Arsenal because it's going to just deteriorate. What they need to do is just let Unai Emery give time to actually put his stamp on it and to break that mentality. Like it's a brand new setup. They want to play a new way, and a lot of those players were comfortable and a little too comfortable in a system which is considered...
It was a good old job to be an Arsenal player under Wenger towards the end. You turned up, so you got paid, you still would be at a good club, and he wouldn't ask much of them.
No need for this, like, Arsenal hatred. There's no need. Those fans are detrimental to the setup. Like, every fan base has got that, but this just... led the way in terms of that, and I just think it's just not on to just go in hard after playing Man City, who are gonna that's incredible squad.
Yeah. It's brilliant.
It's incredible squad. It's
ridiculous
pep thing.
To judge them.
The depth they got when Kevin De Bruyne is on the bench and just comes on and just like wants to make a point.
Yeah, you had De Bruyne on the
bench.
Have
them all hungry. Have them all fit. Jesus. That's a terrifyingly good squad.
Well, we said the ideal is always originally because of this podcast bit, you know. Where we started it from, it was FIFA related.
Yeah.
And we said in the best way on career modes, what you aim for on FIFA way back in the day was you need two world-class players for each position. I'd argue City are very close to that. They're very close to that.
As well as tactically, absolutely on it. And we saw the similar thing in Serie with Chelsea. That press that they got going on, it really disturbs the back line. So the way they do it and create space, the same way that I found interesting the Chelsea Kante, Jorginho movements and everything. Like, they know where to press and what to do. Like, that game, they had nowhere to go, and Petr Cech almost lost his nut, didn't he?
That
yeah, you've always got to have 5 seconds to win the ball back.
But I don't see the point going hard on Arsenal at this stage in the season against the champions who were beasting.
I agree. Look, Arsenal played Man City. They've played one game. They lost that game. You know, if this was at December, you'd go, ah, it's probably what the result would have been. You wouldn't fancy Arsenal if there's a few months in.
Mm.
So I don't know why there's shock at this result.
I wasn't shocked at all.
But it's the absolute backlash from Arsenal.
Why are the press so against Arsenal on the whole? Because it's an easy target or what? What's the situation?
Well, it's easy to think. I think with Wenger there, it's easy to kind of criticise and point at, you know, games passing him by, because people have been saying that for a long time now. I think it was easy to look at, because they've got such a distinct philosophy, Arsenal, with how they do things off the field and on the field.
Yeah, how could you fault it?
You've got something there, clearly there, you can attack on and off the field.
Because there's nothing, there's no scandal or anything else. It's a clean club and they do things the right way.
It's easy for people to take a stance.
So just look for something else to hate. Mm.
And I think to Arsenal, I do think having a long-standing manager there, it's very easy for people to say, you know, it should have been changed here, it should have been changed there, comparing previous sides. And so it becomes, I think Arsenal have that, are prone to that type of attack. And then obviously you've got
Corbyn in the same colours, and everyone's against Corbs as well. So
it's just, well, social media thing, I was going to say, a social media thing is in some respects, because of that element, because of the Arsenal TV prominence, you do have they are there for online debate, and I think that's obviously going to lead.
It's like listening to Adrian Durham. You know what you're going to get.
Yeah, you do.
It's going to
hang you up though.
One thing, talking about the way Arsenal set up.
We could talk about this for so long.
I want to know what your theory on this is. Just based on the only thing I'll pick up on is, if you're going to play out from the back, ask your goalkeeper to be playing out from the back, why would you put your new keeper, who's renowned for being the start of counter-attacks at his previous club?
I'll tell you why.
Why do you leave him on the bench?
I'll tell you
and
why.
And play 36-year-old Petr Cech, who can't play his way out.
I'll stop you there. Right there, okay.
That just baffled me.
Petr Cech was the captain of that, and he's really there to prove a point. Like, this is like end of your career, everyone writing you off stuff. This is your like final vitriol. So he looks really fired up. He's taking care of himself. It's experience as well as knowing the setup. You can't just throw a goalkeeper straight in. Like, it's just a new goalkeeper. What the whole thing is there, you keep him hungry. He needs to view the game. He needs to get in contact. The goalkeeper's view. You can't just, like, all right, Chelsea threw that goalkeeper in. But in that way, it makes sense to put Cech with all of his experience, everything.
Oh yeah, I agree.
And look, you can't say he's against the selection right now. He's in such good nick. The selection, so you can't just throw someone in. So that's why I'm standing up for Petr Cech, captain of Arsenal. Petr Cech.
It might be, but then ask him to do something else.
He needs to step up.
It was like having Ryan Giggs and saying in his prime, I mean, right, Giggs, you're going to play centre back. I'm better on the left wing. It's like, yeah, I know, but this is the tactic I want. Asking Petr Cech to start attacks from the back is going to go wrong. He doesn't know how to do it. You're not going to teach him at 36. Bernd Leno's just made a career out of
it. Yeah, and he will get
change
there,
the tactics for Cech is what I'm saying. You know, you're going to have to drop him, but change the tactics. It's unreal.
Try and make him do stuff.
I've never seen him crumble like that. But again, it is testament to how good that press was.
That they were ridiculous.
Anyone could sort of play out the back. However, the whole point of that system of like the first line of attack, it will stop you then. They've worked hard in those patterns to get those. So Arsenal won't be the only ones that have caught out, and it's not necessarily an error on their part.
The fact is they beat. Sort of on the thing of, you know, Arsenal got beaten by City. Let's leave that one.
Then
let's go to Liverpool have won the Premier League, apparently.
Who's that Naby Keita? He's all right, isn't he?
Yeah, well, Liverpool have won
it. Can he play
Liverpool
footballs?
Won it because they beat West Ham 4-0. That's according to the media. That's what I read.
Other
they
side of the coin, Liverpool can do no wrong.
When we were discussing a couple of weeks ago transfers, and we all said, actually, there's been a lot of people talking about West Ham's transfers, and we all said, forget it.
Yeah.
Every single one of us wrote West Ham off.
So we're not saying this after the event, but that is a West Ham side that is still very deficient in a quite a number of areas. Yeah. They've got players who are good on their day as well, but even their good players are so inconsistent.
Yeah.
I think, and I don't know why Manuel Pellegrini suddenly turned into Pep Guardiola, but suddenly bringing in, okay, he's got
because it's established London club, yeah. He will keep them up some way, shape, or form.
He'll keep them up.
A typical Hammers thing, yeah. And then he's fine because he's too comfortable there. Because think of it his way, like the same anywhere for a little job, and that's a half-decent job.
Why
not?
I just can't see that there's that much progress.
They've signed good players, but there's too many of them as well. That's another element. It's old Championship manager stuff. Don't you know if you sign more than like four players, you're going to disrupt the harmony of your squad? Yeah.
In order for West Ham to get those players, then they pay overkill and they blow everyone out the water just to get those players in. Because those players, you wouldn't want to necessarily join West Ham. It wouldn't be like desirable. Don't get me wrong, it's a great club and everything, but if you're there and you're just considering...
No, the only way you're doing it is because it's a London club.
Yeah, not everyone could do it.
Not everyone
could do a Wolves, can they?
He's from Felipe Anderson. Do you know what I mean? That's mad. Yeah, plays at West Ham. What do you think of Liverpool?
Again, if we're going on...
again, what we said 3 weeks ago, we all agreed that Liverpool's signings had made... You know, they were going to be superb.
Yeah. Yeah.
That Liverpool side...
Just need a little bit extra, but they were firing away. And
Fabinho didn't start that game. Mm. And I'd argue he's their best player. When he was the linchpin of that Monaco
side. Yeah, but again,
he's gone, that's... I'm really looking forward to seeing Monaco this season, because him leaving, him and Bakayoko, and obviously they staggered them leaving, but when Monaco were one of the best sides in Europe... And they had Mbappe, and you know, they were the two players. Forget Mbappe, forget Lamar. If it was Bakayoko ran the midfield, but he was allowed to run this midfield by Fabinho, and Liverpool have got to add him into this squad. It's
a good sign of things to come, but we can't lose ourselves in the beginning of the season, can we? Because it's not a fair barometer of how things shake out. It's exciting, sure.
Yeah,
it is very exciting. I'm very excited. I'm very excited to see Wolves.
Wolves are very good. Ruben Neves.
Did you enjoy that game?
Loved it. I loved it. We had messages who were basically saying, "Is Naby Keita good?" And we were like, "If you only know who Naby Keita is now, you need to watch more football."
Yeah.
It's that simple. And we also had the same messages about Neves. I saw loads of tweets. Naby Keita, all right, he was playing in Germany. I can kind of forgive it that you don't watch the Bundesliga games. Okay. But Ruben Neves was playing in England. He was playing in England for the Championship squad, who won the Championship last season. There's a load of press about how good they were. He scored the goal of the season, And there were still people saying... Oh, it's Ruben Neves, kid. He's quite good, isn't he? He's 12 months he's been here. He also happens to be the youngest ever captain in a Champions League when he captained Porto. It's the guy is Real Madrid, Barcelona quality now.
Yeah.
Not just in 5 years, now.
I can guarantee within 2 weeks or 3 weeks, everyone will know that it's not... Who've just started watching from week one will know that actually it's not just a one-off good performance.
Like, genuinely, yeah. I genuinely thought... I know why he's there, but if I still have got a sneaking suspicion that the reason Barca have replaced Paulinho with 31-year-old Arturo Vidal is because they're going to sign Ruben Neves in about three or four years. I genuinely think, because Barca were the last team interested in him, and he picked Wolves, and there's an awful lot of talk that it was Barca. They said, "Well, look, let him get."
Yeah,
a couple of years.
Look, we'll get Vidal in.
Here's
we'll
the agreement. Yeah. He will be joining you in a couple of years. He'll cost more money.
Just sign it. Don't look at it. Just sign it.
Yeah.
That I genuinely think he's destined for Barca, and he could play in that first team now. He genuinely could walk into it.
Yeah, he's phenomenal, and the confidence and flow of how he played it was a joy to watch.
One of my annoyances of this Wolves game, actually. The 7 on Rui Patricio's shirt. Go back and watch it. It looks like he's wearing 11. It's horrible.
It's a bad font.
I watched the whole game.
Terrible.
Fuming.
Terrible.
Absolutely fuming. I was like, every time he turns around, it looks like goalkeeper's wearing 11. What's Rui Patricio?
We haven't mentioned this one, but a couple of months ago we were chatting about Everton. We were excited because Silva was coming into play and didn't know what to do because their aging squad was ridiculous. Like the amount they needed to change. And it reared his little head with the Jaggy Elka horror tackle as well.
The good thing is they've got Yerry Mina on their bench. So now I think they'll be all right with Jaggy Elka not there.
Just about to say,
to be honest.
We were discussing like the aging squad and everything and where they need help. Well, I think Silva just solved that, and he's got such a platform there to work on.
Yeah. What I like about Walcott what he's done is also Walcott getting rid of a few players.
Yeah,
The person that I'm worried is too strong of a term because I don't really care, but the person I would be if I was in that Everton squad is Leighton Baines. Because he's
had a great run, though, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, just if he wants to continue playing first-team football when you've got Luca Digne on your bench, who is younger, as... could realistically should have a World Cup medal.
That's why they brought him
in.
He's had a good career. He's what, 33, 34 now, Leighton?
Yeah, but it's...
I'm not putting him out to pass him. I'm just saying,
it's... I think we've genuinely seen the passing of Jaggy Elka's torch on the weekend. I know it's only one game, but he made a stupid error and Yerry Mina's on the bench.
Yeah.
It's like... Phil, he used to play for Barcelona.
The fact is, though,
and you're doing that. You're 36 years old.
Marco
we
Silva
wanted you to
has
have a
absolutely
good
smashed it, and like the air of confidence that they're showing was really impressive.
Yeah,
considering
we
were looking at the squad, thinking, what are they going to do? The power.
Yeah,
of
I thought they really
Silva.
Showed their mettle because you know, obviously, going down to 10 men.
Yeah, straight up. Being very comfortable, by the way.
Yeah, and they could have won it 2-1.
Walcott, peak Walcotted.
2-2, they had a chance. But I mean, I do think that actually they look like very slick. There was good interchange in there.
Joe thought was
really, really good. Really good for Brady.
Sosun was brilliant. He linked up that attack. So he was superb. We tweeted out while we were watching the game, if he doesn't end in double figures for goals this season, something's gone wrong. He got his assist, but he led that line brilliantly.
That Ruben Neves scored one of those free kicks as well, didn't he? Yeah.
Germany.
Yeah, he's a gem.
Right. Should we move on to the other league?
Shall we move on?
Yes. At this point, we hand over to our championship correspondent.
We've got championship correspondent.
Right, the Beasler.
Yeah.
Beasler effect.
Who was he?
At Leeds.
Was he done?
Another one. I got asked...
Who's this fella?
It's as if Beasley's done well at Leeds, like the Guardian put, and I read one which was actually quite good when you got to the end of it in the Guardian, but it started off as Beasley's made a great start to life in England. It's like, right, have you got any idea what level of club this man has managed? Diego Simeone and Pochettino.
Do you know
and
how
Pep...
many formations this man knows?
Yeah, it's like,
do you tell me
when Pep Guardiola took over at Barcelona, the first manager he went to see was Marco Beasler. He was at Beasler's house and he's just chilling out. He was there for 3 days. He said he took 4 notebooks.
Yeah.
And in the end had to borrow like 10 off Beasler because it was just knowledge after knowledge. And he was scribbling down. And then he went to Barcelona and he credits Beasler with him creating that Barcelona ethic and their way of playing. And they're surprised.
That's already being shown.
And they're surprised that man is doing well in the championship. Do you know what I mean? It's like he was the godfather of Barcelona. Of course he's doing well.
There's a real work ethic. You can see it immediately.
Oh, the stories he's already done. You know, like when they went and interviewed him and they said, tell us about what you know about the court. And he's already watched all their games from the season before and all their pre-season.
He's able to give all the
and everyone around them.
The teams watched, and the formations that each
talking
team
about Bolton Wanderers and stuff. You know, it's... he's so over prepared about everything. He's like the talks. Yeah, he's got a tape that he listens to, you know, with all his formations on it, and he goes for runs at 2 a.m. That's how he relaxes.
What a man!
He put himself in a convent.
What a mighty, mighty
like
good man.
A while back, he put him in a convent himself, and he said, "I lasted 3 months. I needed to get away from football, but all I thought about was football." This man is mad. He also said one of my favourite stories of him is when he was giving a team talk and he walked in at half time and he looked at them and he said, and he took a big breath out and he just said, when some people see blood, they run away scared. And when other people see blood, they go in for the kill. And he just leant back and he just went, boys, I can smell blood in the air. And just walked out. They were losing 1-0. They won like 3-1. That season, full team talk at half time.
That's all you need.
Yeah, just it's all you boys need. I can smell blood in the air.
But he's got a good side to work with, and I think he's perfect for Leeds. Actually, I think he's perfect.
He's brilliant. I really hope he gets them promoted. I hope they don't tail off as his sides have been known to do. Yeah. But I hope they do.
I expect Leeds. I think will be
Leeds to Leeds.
There or thereabouts.
Yeah.
I am a Forest Swansea fan, but no, not well. Swansea possibly. I'm a Forest fan, so and I'm usually whatever the opposite to rose tinted glasses is, dark tinged spectacles or whatever. I'm usually of rose tinted glasses, and I'm usually pretty pessimistic. But I think actually, this year we can't have too many excuses.
You've bought perfectly.
Yeah.
Like perfectly, where I thought you needed to strengthen, you've gone out and done it.
Your favourite. We played a whole different 11 yesterday in the cup against Bury, and it was still strong on paper. So I do think us, Leeds, I think Villa are going to be up there. I think West Brom should get it right.
Yeah, what about Stoke and Swansea?
Stoke...
How will the relegated get on?
I think Stoke, a lot of people quite fancy Stoke for some of the players they bought. I myself have some doubts about whether they'll adjust. I still think they're not as mobile as they could be. I know the Championship, it can be smash mouth at times, but Wolves proved last year as well that you can do it on technical brilliance as well. So I do think they haven't got enough cover in enough areas. So I do worry about them. Swansea's a really interesting one because
he's done a good job, Graham Potts.
I think he's done a great job.
Graham Potts,
and there's
yeah.
a lot being said Completely about the under. Owners. The Trust have come out this week and they've really criticised and had concerns about some of the comments and the transfer policy. But even then, despite all the problems, and I know I completely get this whole, the squad's pretty thin, but if you look, even you had Montero on the bench, Fur on the bench in the last game, you know.
They're good at that level as well. They're good in the Prem, but they're very, very good.
McBurney, I think, is going to be a handful. Barry McKay, they got from us, who is on his day as technically gifted as anyone in the league, but it's just about consistency and motivation for him. I mean, they've still got quality, I think, in a lot of areas. I mean, I think if they can, yes, injuries might expose the squad, but even then, I still think they've got enough about them. Tom Carroll's another one, I think,
Did Lucas stay, or did he leave?
Lucas left, yeah. Lucas.
Because he was going everywhere, wasn't he?
Lucas was sold. So, I mean, I do think, and they lost Amat as well, and they lost Fernandez as well. So I think
Fabianski as well.
Yeah, so they have lost players, but I still think that actually some of the signings have been pretty shrewd, and I think they're still looking to bring in some loan signings. So I think Swansea, I still fancy Swansea to be in and around the playoff.
I just hope, all I want next season is for whatever happens, either through relegation or promotion, I just need Swansea and Cardiff to be in the same league again.
I just need it to happen
now. And ideally, I think it would be better in the Championship.
Looking at Cardiff's first game, like I can't wait to see how this season shakes out for Cardiff City. But
it's going to be interesting. My worry for Cardiff
back
City.
On form. They need something up front.
My worry for Cardiff City is the same as it's been from very early on, is that he's bought from below. Mm. There's not much Premier League.
It's the first ever
history in there,
first
really.
First ever Filipino goalkeeper in the Premier League.
There you go.
Warnock did that.
Need I say more?
I think there's a good chance that Swansea and Cardiff might be in the same league next season. But I still think, on the Championship
Cardiff have got a whole ass this season.
They have got to pull out a lot this season.
But Warnock, keep on. Don't tag Allardyce in.
Right, I've told you what you do.
Just leave him be.
It doesn't matter about Cardiff. It doesn't matter. Whatever club you are, this is how you will succeed. Guaranteed. You hire Neil Warnock when
Warnock,
in the Championship.
Warnock will be ruffling feathers, though.
Warnock will get you promoted. And then regardless of where that team is in the league, whether they're 16th,
up to
10th,
a monster.
Anywhere from, say, 10th down, if they're in that region, whether it's 10th or 20th, end of November, you sack Warnock and you bring in Sam Allardyce.
Ruthless.
That, regardless. So Warnock could be like, and 10th in the Prem.
Yeah.
This is amazing. We're 12 points off relegation. You're sacked. Sorry, yeah. You knew it was coming. Big Sam's coming in, just in case you balls this up.
Big Sam's coming in with his printer.
He definitely won't ball it up at this time of year. And then it keeps them both in constant employment, which I'm a fan of.
That's what Alan Rose is doing now.
It's a programme, isn't it?
Yeah. And he's in Barbados. And it's, he comes you could back. Then... Because it's 6 months.
Around Christmas, Sky could have their own series. Which club is Big Sam going to? Because we know he's going to one of these 10. Which one? They could have phone-ins, they could have everything.
You can cross a team off as each week of the Premier League goes by.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not going to be them.
It only take a couple of years of that programme.
What are the
when
odds?
Neil Warnock as well is just like, I'm just going to get sacked in 18 minutes, isn't I? When he said, take Barnsley. Come on, Neil. Yeah. No, they're going to sack me again. They've sacked me every time.
I got hopes for Cardiff City to remain.
We've been invited.
We're going to see Newcastle.
We've been invited to Cardiff versus Newcastle with our sponsor, Big Moose Coffee. So we'll be there on Saturday. Yeah. Midday.
I'm going.
You can't trump that.
No, I think I can because I'm going corporate. Hospitality to El Clasico, Swansea, Forest.
Oh, may have trumped this. I'm going to say that the hors d'oeuvres at ours will be better.
El Clasico.
We'll compare notes. We'll come.
Good cheese board at Liberty.
We'll reconvene next week. It'll be grand. Do you want to have at this point, do you want a couple of predictions?
I feel like a prediction.
Last year, around this time, we made some predictions and then we came back to it at the end of the season and saw where we left off.
We did all right.
And it was really good.
We did all right.
Some of them where we thought who was going to get more assists and Ozil or De Bruyne, and we didn't get that right. And really? Who's going to score
couldn't have been more off,
yeah. Yeah. Who was going to get relegated? And we didn't get any of them. But we did all right. I picked Man City to win.
You did. I chose Chelsea because I thought Conte had one more in him.
And I said City. And yeah, so I thought we'd do that. So we'll come back to this in a year's time.
Let's go.
Let's do Mitch first. Who's going to win the Prem?
Man City.
Skin?
Yeah, it's hard to see past that. Even though I don't really want it. I want to say Chelsea again, but that bit me in the behind last
year. I genuinely wasn't sure about this. I wasn't completely sure about this.
Spurs?
Because, no. I think Liverpool might actually do it this season. I think it's between the two of them. And then that sneaking part of me in the back went, Jose. Oh, my God. How... It was like the wind just whispered, Mourinho. Because how Jose Mourinho would it be when everyone's going on about your third season? Oh, it's Jose's third season. He wins the league.
Yeah.
And the Champions League, and at the end of the year, second puts it down and just goes, third season there.
Then leaves.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then drops, I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm going.
Some Africans.
And as he drops the mic, you know, there's like Zidane poking his head around the door. And it's just, exactly. But I just...
It's still in your head. That happened.
Yeah, like, exactly. Regardless of me being a Man United fan, I would love to see how the media react when they've made a lot of money off Jose can't manage a club for more than two seasons.
Yeah.
If Mourinho in his third season at United won the league, just put it down. So
it would be hilarious.
That's for you lot. But I think I am going to say City. It was City, Liverpool, United is who I want to win because I think it'd be brilliant. But we've got... Right,
we just waxed lyrical about the depth.
Who will finish in the top four?
Okay, well, Chelsea will, Spurs will.
No, I need an order. Who's second? So we've all said City.
Chelsea, Spurs, Man United.
Man United fourth.
Yeah,
Liverpool won't finish in the.
Oh shit! All right, okay.
Ooh. You've said City, Spurs. You've said City, Chelsea, Spurs.
No, hang on, let me see.
Locked in.
You've said City, Chelsea, Spurs, United.
Chelsea, Spurs. Yeah, I did, didn't I?
Yeah.
Okay. Replace Spurs with Liverpool.
So and Spurs have gone from third to fifth.
They don't want to do fourth.
Okay, right. My four, I think City will win it. I think Liverpool will finish second. I think United will finish third. And I think Chelsea will finish fourth.
Yeah,
exactly the same?
Exactly the same. Yeah, all right, Liverpool will be close. I think they'll be close. United just behind. Yeah, and then I think, Chelsea.
I think it'll be quite close for fourth and fifth. And
no one said Arsenal. This
but no, I think it will be actually quite close between fourth and fifth, and fourth and third, or third and second. So I think Liverpool and United will actually be quite close. And then I think Chelsea and whoever finished fifth, I reckon Spurs will be quite close.
Yeah.
And then one will just pull off at the end. Who's going to be top goal scorer?
Oh, so you think it'll be Harry Kane or Aguero, I feel?
All right, well, one of them.
I'm going to go Sir Kane. Harry of Kane.
Kane, when he starts scoring in October.
Yeah. Because I want to know.
Never before that.
Because I now want to be slightly different, I'm going to say Lukaku. Okay.
Who?
Right. Who's three relegated?
Well, who?
Huddersfield.
Yes, agree.
Yeah.
I refuse to say Cardiff City.
Cardiff, yeah. Number two. I think.
Do you think Cardiff?
I don't want to say it.
I think maybe Watford.
Watford.
I know they started well, but I just think Watford.
Watford.
Okay, Huddersfield, Cardiff. You going Cardiff as well?
I think I'm going to be no. Oh, sure. Yeah, begrudgingly. Okay. I hope they do.
Who else? One more from you.
I think it might be West Ham. It might not flow. Some of that.
God.
I got problems there.
You get the West Ham fans into you.
I think it will be Cardiff, Brighton, and Southampton.
Southampton
and Brighton do not score enough goals.
Yeah.
Huddersfield don't either, but I just don't think they score enough. I don't see Cardiff staying up. I'd love them to, but I don't think they do. I think Southampton look toothless.
Take Cardiff out. They're going to stay up. Southampton are going down.
Okay. And then, yeah, it's Brighton. I think Huddersfield will finish one above. And I think it's also going to be a bit of a worrying season for Burnley.
If
Burnley got relegated, it would not surprise me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think because of Thursday nights?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Joe Hart.
Whoa.
Goalkeepers start. Union. Okay, right.
Yeah.
That's the main ones. Oh, right. La Liga winners.
Barca.
I think Real, because I've got a lot of faith in Gary Barr.
I'm going third for Real.
Bale.
Okay. Syria.
Juve. Hovs.
I'm very, very tempted because I think Inter have strengthened well. Yes. They've got a terrifying side. AC are doing a lot better. AC last season with Kalinic and Silva and Cotrone. They've got Higuain, who's the most lethal finisher in that league.
Yeah.
It's unreal. But they've got, you know, Kessie back. I think there's fringe players who haven't really shown, like Locatelli. He hasn't really done much. They brought in Bakayoko. I think they've done well, AC. I think their aim is to get back in the Champions League, which I think they will do. Roma have potentially had the best transfer window.
Roma getting
and that
Nzonzi
doesn't include
as well.
Malcolm. They lost Malcolm. They nearly had it, but they brought in Nzonzi. They brought in Justin Kluivert, who's superb.
Yeah, Nzonzi for again a good bit of business money wise as well. I think they've done some really good business as we talked about before.
And they brought in so Olsen, the Swedish keeper, who's had a good World Cup.
Discussed before.
Yeah, great World Cup. And he's kind of,
great World Cup.
But yeah, so I think potentially they could do something.
Yeah, I think they're
Roma. I am going to say Juventus.
Yeah.
The other one then, leading on from that, will Ronaldo score over 30 goals in Serie A?
Hell yeah.
Bear in mind, he hasn't scored over 30 goals for the last two seasons.
Juve and how they're going to progress.
I'm going to short.
I think he'll reach it.
He'll get around 25.
Guys, he's in that league. You're forgetting that league.
I would say Serie A is...
There's goals to
arguably,
get.
Yeah, it is, but I would say Serie A is actually more of a competitive league than La Liga. I don't think he will, but I would absolutely love him to. Yeah. Who will get more assists, Pogba or Naby Keita?
I'm saying Pogba's going to turn out. He's proved it.
Pogba as well.
Yeah, that's a full house. That is a full house. I'm going to say Pogba.
Pogs has got to be motivated going into this.
Last one then, before we finish. who will score more goals, Harry Kane or Huddersfield? Harry Kane scored 30 goals last season. Huddersfield scored 28.
I'm going to go...
And Burnley, interestingly, were actually, sorry to just sort of run off.
How many?
They, last season, they were one of the worst, lowest goal scorers. Southampton scored 37. Burnley scored less than Southampton.
I don't see them scoring many more this season.
That's the way they play. That's just the way they play.
I think Kane's going to do it again.
He's going to outscore Huddersfield.
I think he will outscore Huddersfield.
I'm saying Huddersfield because I like Aaron Moy. I like Mounier.
They only scored 28 last season, and I think the two goals were Mounier and I can't think of the other guy.
Mounier
lost his name. Is it Dupuytren?
Dupuytren, yeah, big guy.
Yeah.
They, I think they only got three each or something.
I mean,
like
on
that.
Their day, well,
I'm going to go Huddersfield because I think that Huddersfield, you know, back the dog, like. But yeah, so we'll revisit those in a year's time.
There we are.
Are we done?
That's done. Are we actually done?
We're done.
We're not done.
We're done.
Got loads to chat about. All right, should we finish there?
We're done.
I think we should finish there.
All right, and we are. Yeah, cheers for listening. Rich. Yeah, whatever. God
bless. We'll be back in a week. Do you know why we can't find any hairy footballers?
No, because I've been looking for so long and I can't find any hairy footballers.
We've been for ages. The footballers are just like porpoises. It's ridiculous.
They're too smooth for my liking. It makes me feel uncomfortable. I want to see some hair.
There's no hairy chest. There's no hairy shins. There's no hairy knees. I haven't seen a hairy neck.
There's nothing.
Nothing. Not even in Russia. It didn't happen.
If you find one, let us know.
At the World Cup. But do you know why?
Why?
Ichiban.
What's Ichiban?
It's Southwest Japan's best hair loss cream. It's been voted number one.
Is that how they get hairy footballers?
No, this is why they're here. Yeah, Ichiban. The Premier League is powered by Ichiban. I've cracked their codes.
Tell me what Ichiban does again.
Ichiban removes every last hair on your body within 3 minutes without fail.
Have you tried Ichiban?
No, but I certainly will now.
You should.
All of us at the Ramble use Ichiban hair removal cream.
It works all the time, at least some of the time.
And, oh, yeah, so we've got a podcast as well. Come come and listen. It's the FIFA Ramble.
Come and listen.
Or don't. It's up to you. I'll leave it
Itchy
to you.
Ban.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.